by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
We give you praise, our Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. We say, blessed be your name, our King. We thank you for having heard us this morning. Father, we ask that all that you would have us come into in Sunday school today, that we've asked and petitioned you for, that you will now help us, both me, the minister, everyone here and those without, to align to receive it, everyone of it, in the name of Jesus. Your grace upon your servant, our daddy, God's servant, Pastor Emeka Egbuchukwu, for Sunday school. We yield to that grace. I ask that you help me to yield to the grace. As in a church, you would help us to drink into that grace and come into more of your blessing in Sunday school this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may please be seated. Praise the Lord. This is lesson 2 in our study of how to be led by the Spirit of God. So this is lesson 2. This is the third time that we are taking this series of how to be led by the Spirit of God. Was first taken, the one on record that I think we can lay our hands on is 2017. Even though I think we've taken it, Pastor has taught it, you know, in the early days of the church, probably 2011, you know, but the one we could lay our hands upon are 2017 and 2020, that's 2 years ago. So what we are doing, you know, by instruction from Pastor Daddy Egbuchukwu, is we are taking from both lessons, you know, teachings to buttress the emphasis that the Lord has put in the heart of his servant for us as a local assembly at this time. Let's say amen. Like Daddy said, if you have a question, please, you know, make good to forward it to Pastor AK, Pastor Akongun Ademola, so that we can incorporate it in the other lessons that will come in answering them. Let's say amen. Our topic today is the basics of the leading of the Spirit in the light of the soul salvation message. The basics of the leading of the Spirit in the light of the soul salvation message. Now, somebody might ask, you know, what that might mean. Now, you know, teachings, let's say, for example, teaching on prosperity. You know, in teaching prosperity, if all a minister, a church, a ministry, or a move of God, if all they have and hold as teaching and doctrine is the milk of the word. Almost every emphasis that they would teach from the scripture would reflect that level of God's word that they hold. So you must have heard over and over again our parents in the Lord here, our pastors in these waters, when they want to talk about financial prosperity, it's not the way you or me have heard prosperity taught either to before we began to hear this message that it is taught. Because why? You know, light of God's word or doctrines of God's word reflect on, you know, issues that is taught from God's word. Put another way, milk of the word, there is how it sees prosperity, financial prosperity. There is how it sees heaven. There is how it sees leading of the Spirit. There is how it sees spirit, soul, body. There is how it sees hope for living. As a matter of fact, milk of God's word will teach you by and large, make sure you are rapturable. Make sure that when Jesus comes, the day the last trumpet will sound, that you are ready for rapture. And we want to teach you to do well in life. You understand? You know, be the best. God wants to make you the head and not the tail. Then with regards to financial prosperity, for example, give your tithe, give your offering. You understand? You know, be quick to give to people. You know, just with that eye or that light or that emphasis of the milk of the word. You know, those truths are taught at that age of the doctrine. Because doctrines are actually giving of age. Every doctrine is age put together in teachings. Now, if you take that same minister that taught milk at that level, maybe through the teaching of Christ or the teaching of the meat of the word, and tell that same minister to come and now teach you financial prosperity, or to teach you the hope for his life, or to teach you about heaven, that same minister from the same Bible will begin to give you a different perspective from what they gave years before that time. Not that they are lying now or they lied then, but I or doctrine or light is what brings conclusions about different subject matters from the scriptures which we use for life. So a minister who teaches Christ, for example, can look at you boldly and tell you, heaven is not the goal. Heaven is not our home. Ministers who teach meat of the gospel can quickly tell you heaven and earth will be burnt with fire. I remember going to preach somewhere that the Igoke sent me 2 years ago, somewhere in the north. And while I got there, you understand, not wanting to, just teaching generally the basics, but somehow, I get to talk about the fact that this present heaven and the present earth will be burnt with fire. Then I read the Bible, I read scriptures. I didn't, because the moment I said it, you know, people can be writing while you are teaching, people are writing, taking notes. The moment I said it, eyebrows were raised. Some people stopped. They looked at elderly people, like, what's this small boy saying? Then there was one minister there, you understand, blessed, you know, good, great minister of God, you know, he's an apostle. So later on, the pastor we invited daddy that I went to minister in his church now told me, because before the end of the message, the apostle got up and walked out of the service. You understand? So later the pastor told me, he said, that apostle was angry with what I said. I said, what did I say? You know, he said, I said, heaven and earth will pass away. That heaven is not our hope. That heaven is not the goal for a believer. That even heaven and earth will be burnt with fire. He said, that's not correct. He said, fire will burn the earth, but fire will not burn heaven. So I now checked it. I now said, but this thing is here. He said, I'm not the one who said it. It's Peter that said it. That means Peter caused confusion. You understand? Because he said, the heaven and the earth will be burnt with fire in 2 Peter chapter 3 from verses 9 downwards. Revelations 1:21-1. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. Now, with the eyes of milk, people read it. But you will be amazed. It's like if they didn't read it. I'm talking about me and you years ago. It's there. But it just doesn't touch. There's a veil of light that does not make it register. In that same vein, when you understand, you know, you bring the strong meat of the word. What the meat of the word has elucidated upon and taught, by the time you bring the strong meat of the word and it begins to shine light, the Lord begins to use the light of everlasting life to shine light on certain emphases of the scripture, you discover that what you thought was the conclusion on the matter at the level of meat is not the conclusion. So with greater light or with more light or doctrine, and each emphasis of scripture becomes broader. Sometimes they become complicated. So the reason why this is being said is even the issue of the leading of the Spirit to a great degree has been taught as, you know, from the point of view majorly of being led. Me, you, God's people being led so as to have a good life. Being led, if you ask most people, when the issue of leading of the Spirit comes, one of the strongest things that arises, like Daddy said last week, is who to marry. When you just say, you know, leading of the Spirit, who to marry, leading of the Spirit, one of the strongest things that arises in people's heart, the job you will get. You understand? You know, get who you marry, where you will live. That's when people come to God. You will hear things like, I now separated myself. I went to the mountain, you know, 3 days to seek the face of God. Now, that's amazing and that's beautiful. But that same leading of the Spirit, if you bring it under the season, under the light, the teaching, the doctrine of the faith of the Son and of everlasting life, leading of the Spirit takes a totally broader shape. It becomes magnified. I don't want to say totally different because, you know, it becomes magnified. That's where you now find that leading of the Spirit is not something that should be, you know, a punctuation in our life. No punctuation. Punctuation is different from the sentence. It's just punctuation is comma, full stop, apostrophe, hyphen. No. That leading of the Spirit is supposed to be everything. Like Pastor Taya was ministering yesterday in Revelation, leading of the Spirit should be everything. It should be, the more a person grows in doctrine, leading of the Spirit becomes natural. You know, Pastor TJ said something that might sound somehow last week when he was rounding up. Leading of the Spirit can get to the point that you'll be having a check. Not necessarily because you are going to ask the Lord. Not because you are spooky. Sometimes you might even know, I shouldn't wear this, I should wear this. This is your normal route. You're driving home. You're driving. Leading of the Spirit, you just know, I shouldn't take this route. Even though Google Map has told you that's the shortest, the best, and most predictably safe route to get home early. Leading of the Spirit can take you through another route that might have traffic. Not necessarily, because leading of the Spirit is not to make you avoid traffic. Leading of the Spirit is to condition you in a manner wherein you are obedient to the one who is leading for a greater purpose that you might not know at that time. The essence of it is to save you. And sometimes your will might be so strong that it's to be leading you in the way you don't want to go. Might be traffic. It might be marrying the brother that you feel doesn't fit into your framework of who to marry. Marrying the sister that doesn't fit into that framework. What the Lord is after is you being saved. Let's say amen. So the emphasis today is basics of the leading of the Spirit in the teaching of the salvation of the soul. Our leading of the Spirit in the light of the salvation of the soul message, you understand, you know, is being taught, ought to be perceived, ought to be known, and ought to be used. Let's say amen. In our last lesson, memory track, we found grace to look at reasons why a believer needs to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. Let's say amen. We also emphasized some truths in God's word that would help us undo wrong mindsets about the leading of the Spirit that some of us believers have. As I've been stressed in earlier lessons, let's all approach this series with a humble heart and mind, which is required to have access and entrance in both teaching and hearing. Let's say amen. Introduction to our lesson today. The issue of how to be led by the Spirit of God is a broad subject that a believer would take a lifetime to understand and keep understanding. Let's say amen. Now, that's the kind of art I believe the Lord wants to culture in us in leading our daddy God servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu, to bring this subject again and again. I believe by the time, you know, we enter into the seasons of eternal life, the Lord might still lead his servant, that we need to know how to be led. Because really, you understand, until we fully lay hold on it, we will need, because we've not gone there before.
Eternal life is not our life. So until we fully lay hold on it and fully unite with that life and use it very well, we will need leading, we will need guidance, we will need help, we will need instructions. Let's say amen. However, there are some basic things that need to and ought to be understood at the elementary level of our Christian faith that would well position and fortify a person for to be properly disposed to always be led by the Spirit of God. Let's say amen. Majority of the teachings that we have been taught on the leading of the Spirit, majorly in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, have been taught with the eye and sight that has not fully come to discern the inward man, which is the soul. Let's say amen. So majority of the teaching, you understand, if you find the person, now I've seen quite a number of books in, you know, a very young believer that I am. I've seen quite a number of books that ministers have written on leading of the Spirit. Just like I've seen quite a number of books ministers have written on Holy Spirit and His gifts. Now, those books, for example, let me use the one on the Holy Spirit and His gifts. I heard one minister, he said there are 13 gifts of the Spirit. Yes, I was discussing it with Daddy Hugo Kesom, was it last year or 2 years ago? He said he can prove it, that there are 13 gifts of the Spirit. There's another minister, we some of us might, you know, that thought that there are 12 gifts of the Spirit. You understand? Now, you know, different, you know, teachings, as it were. But one thing is obvious. So accuracy is dependent on a number of factors. One, the calling of the Lord upon a minister. The commitment of the Lord to a minister, you know, is greatly dependent on how accurate that minister can be. For someone like God's servant, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, that is, you know, a father that our parents and pastors follow, have been following. The Lord just told them to follow him. You understand? The Lord called him. Then the Lord was committed to him over a period of almost 70 years of ministry. The Lord kept coming to him, teaching him for the body. Now, it's true, you know, God's servant, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, you find very, very, very accurate teaching. I've seen many books on how to be led by the Spirit. But I've not seen, most times when I'm reading it, I could be blessed. But not many are as sincere. Not many are as almost scriptural like what you find in God's servant's book, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, of how to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, and one person who really, really found grace to have access to what the soul is was Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin. Many ministers who've taught leading of the Spirit have defined soul to be many things. This is not being critical, just examining our Sunday school lesson. They've taught soul to be many things. Some will tell you, you understand, you know, the soul is, you understand, just different things. Let me, you know, mention them that they will tell you that the soul is. But the Lord showed mercy to his servant, who he said, when Kenneth E. Hagin of blessed memory said, he said he spent 15 years of burning the midnight oil, searching for what does the soul mean? Who is the soul? 15 years. He said every day he carried that question for 15 years. He said, and he asked the best Bible scholars of his day. And he said he sat under most of the best Bible teachers, whom we make reference to, you understand now, who wrote commentaries, who wrote encyclopedias. He sat under them. And he said he walked up to many of them. You hear him if you've listened to that tape. I've listened to that tape over and over, how to be led by the Spirit of God. He said he walked up to them. He would tell some of them, he would call their names. He would say, what is the difference between the soul and the Spirit? And they would tell him, there's no difference. That the soul is the Spirit. The Spirit is the soul. That, you know, scriptures use them interchangeably. He said, but something inside of him was not agreeing. Even though he couldn't prove it. So he had to search and search. Then one day, one night, while he was studying in the night, the Spirit of God gave him light. And he found out that the soul is different from the Spirit. It's always been there. You know, it's easy for us. For us now, you might feel like, was it Spirit, soul, body is different now. But it's labor that got us there. Let's say amen. It's labor. We just came in and it's there right before us. We don't even know the amount of war. Heaven had to war. Ministers had to war, following heaven, for certain truths to be brought on the table, and they are just there, easy for us to take. So he said he war, and he understood that, you understand, the soul is different from the spirit. And one of the scriptures that the Lord used to teach him that was Hebrews chapter 4, that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. He said, you know, piercing even to the dividing asunder, or divide apart, of soul and spirit. So he said it's only the word of God that can separate between soul and spirit, because they look alike. So if you read in his book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God, you listen to the tape, or you listen to Developing the Human Spirit, you will see him, he will teach on spirit, 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 then he will teach on soul. Even though all the teachings that Baba taught on soul was not the full light like we now see as the Lord has taught us through our parents and pastors, but that was a foundation that even our parents built upon. Let's say amen. So why am I saying that? A prerequisite to have accurate teaching on how to be led by the Spirit is to discern the soul. Because who is being led is the soul. So if you don't even know the soul, so how would you know how he will be led? If at all he needs to be led. So one critical baseline to teach accurately how to be led by the Spirit or understand it is to appreciate what the soul is. In the subsequent lessons, we'll talk about, you know, spirit soul for the purpose of shedding light on that. Man is tripod, for, you know, quick reference, is a spirit that has a soul that lives in the body. Genesis 1:26, God created spirit soul. The spirit is the person. Pastor Emeka Adadi says the soul is the organ of the spirit. The spirit and the soul lives in a body. Let's say amen. The soul consists of mind and heart. What the physical brain is to the body is what the mind is to the spirit. What the physical heart is to our flesh that pumps blood is what there is an invisible heart that is attached to the spirit. So if your spirit steps out of your body, you see a full-blown man. It's not like maybe you die, for example, and you know, if somebody dies, yeah, maybe one person comes out, they say, that's the spirit, that's the spirit. Another one will come out now, another one just watch, crap, that's the soul. You know, maybe he's a genie, short guy, say, that's the soul, stubborn guy, see the way he shorts. That's not it. It's one person you will see that will come out, let's say amen. But that one person has mind, that mind, the same way brain, what, everybody say brain. The brain is the physical, if you want to understand what mind is like, look at the brain. The brain is a physical tissue. Medulla oblongata, pons varoli, cerebellum, cerebrum, you know, all those orishi-rishi, you understand? Outer cortex, inner cortex, gray matter, bogwe, they are part of the brain. When people die, you crack their skull, the thing remains there. So that's not the mind, that's brain. But the brain, you understand, is a physical reflection of what the mind is like. So the mind is invisible. It's attached to the spirit upstairs. The heart, the one that pumps blood, is a physical representation of an invisible one that is attached to the spirit. That's where a man's things are kept. So that the Eguchukwu thought like 6 years ago or 5 years ago, you understand, when he taught spirit, soul, and body, that the soul is the organ of the spirit. The same way the heart and the brain are organs of the body. The heart is part of the, circulatory, system of the body. You understand? You know, it helps push blood. You understand? It works with the circulatory system. It works with the respiratory system. It is a muscular system. You understand? The brain is part of the nervous system. They are organs of the body. In that same vein, the mind and the heart are part of their organs of the spirit. Let's say amen. Let's read from our manual. This does not mean the church, with all humility and fear, has not acknowledged that man is tripartite, because she has. Let's say amen. The issue of the soul, especially with regards to the fate of the Son, has been elusive and hidden. Let's say amen. For this purpose, most of the teachings on the leading of the Spirit of God has not been holistic enough, particularly on the issue of the soul being led for to be saved. Can we read James chapter 1? We've, you know, gone so much without reading scriptures. James chapter 1, verse 21. I'd like us to read it together. James chapter 1, verse 21. If you're there, say amen. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Can we read together the last part of that scripture? One, two, go. Now, majority of us, when we met this teaching, I remember when I first came to EGFM in 2006, and I heard, you know, I've read that portion of the scripture, James 1, many, many times. But I came and met an emphasis wherein, you understand, everything I was hearing is soul salvation. You know, your soul needs to be saved. You know, before everyone will say anything, your soul needs to be saved. Pastor comes up, soul needs to be saved. Then you'll be hearing things like, our infirmity are many. You understand? Death, there is darkness. So, I'm coming from somewhere where all I knew was new creation reality. I am Christ. I'm seated. I am in the image of God. The life of God is at work in me. I'm trampled on the devil. Where is he? Let me catch him. Let me catch him and burn him with fire. Holy Ghost fire will chop him. And here I am. I like the anointing. When everyone is ministering, the anointing everywhere. You understand? Angels. I've never heard that one before. Tongues and interpretation. Which one is this? But then the message, as powerful as those things are, then everyone will not be like, you understand? You know, we need help. In New Creation, it doesn't say it needs help. He is the help of God. So I'll be like, no, they are spoiling this message. They are spoiling this message. Then, you understand, you know, with time, of course, when I first heard it, I repelled it. I rejected it from afar. That these people are preaching sin. They are making people sin conscious. But the teaching of the salvation of the soul, when it is taught, like Pastor Tyler said yesterday, that, and Pastor Moses affirmed when he was rounding up, that's when we will, when that teaching is thrown up. He said, for example, he said, receive with meekness. It is only soul salvation message that they will tell you to receive with meekness. Because if you do mozu to approach it, by the time you have failed and failed and failed, 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 and you are lying down a failure, you will come with meekness. Because then you will acknowledge that you need help. And that help is made available by the summary of that help is the Holy Spirit leading you. Whether it's leading you to scriptures, it's leading you to know how to appropriate understanding, it's leading you in how to obey, what to obey, when to obey, who to obey. So all of it is stored up in the help that the Holy Spirit supplies. Let's say amen. So that particular portion, it says to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. Reading further in our manual, today's teaching is poised towards considering the leading of the Spirit from the very angle of the salvation of the soul perspective. That is to give a holistic view and broad understanding of the issue of the leading of the Spirit, particularly for a young believer, one that is unicorn to faith. Let's say amen. Hallelujah. There's a number of people, new faces since 2020. So this will be very, very powerful and a blessing to them. Then much more, like Pastor TJ will say, it will be a refresher's course for us. Let's say amen. It is good to stress the following. At the point of the new birth, every believer's soul is a baby in the Lord. Just like a physical baby is born to their physical parents. Let's say amen. Can we read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So everyone who's born again, at that point that we are born again, you know, scriptures, if not rightly divided, can confuse. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, there is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the spirit man. Let's say amen. Then in, you know, 1 Corinthians 3, he said, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, those are points where new Christian reality teachers get conflict and they use Greek interpretation to kill the Bible. They will tell you the Greek word is alagazanzauleza, taking from the root word of the root word of the root word of the root word that is root word. Before you know it, the scripture has disappeared. Praise God. Because why? Not rightly dividing. So at the point of being born again, our spirit is a man. Is a new man. Let's say amen. The spirit of every human being has never been a child. No spirit has ever been a child. Whether unbeliever spirit or the spirit of believers, God created Adam's spirit a man. Let's say amen. When a man and a woman comes together in sexual relationship, spirit and soul comes from God. Body is given by parents. And that spirit that is coming from God is a man. The soul is the one that has tendency to be a child or to be a man, depending on what you expose it to. So for our, as many children, for example, that are, maybe they are carrying like Pastor Tilash baby, you understand, David, you understand, you know, that child, if the spirit in that child comes out and you see the spirit, you might likely throw away the baby, because it's not a baby. It's a man. Everybody say it's a man. It's a man. But the soul, you understand, can be a baby. The baby, Pastor T. Latch's baby, the soul is a baby. And he's going to learn things, you know, as he's growing. And that's true for every one of us. So at the point wherein we are born again, our spirit, from being an old man or a man of sin, it was recreated to being a new man. The day an unbeliever said, I believe in Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, the Holy Ghost enters into that person, enters their body, passes through their body, passes through their soul, gets to their spirit and recreates it. Let's say amen. Amen. He recreates it. He becomes a brand new man that is called Christ. And that man was born. But because of the work that our Lord did on the cross, our Lord did a full work for our spirit, soul, body. But the allocation for our spirit can be taken immediately just by confessing that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead. But the allocation for our soul, we can't take it immediately. So what the Lord did, Acts 20, verse 28, what the Lord did was that he, you know, paid the price for our soul. So, you know, Paul told the disciples in Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the flock of God which he had purchased with his own blood. Everybody touch your chest like this. Say, my soul has been purchased with the blood of Jesus. So our spirit is, when we are born again, is a new man. But our soul, at that point, the spirit became a new man. The soul became a purchased entity. It does no longer belong to the devil by the soul. But it still has the devil's property. It still has the devil's nature. Somewhere it still yields to the devil because of the things of the devil. But it's no longer owned by the devil because it has been purchased. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He said, wherefore, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you heard the gospel and you got born again, the Holy Spirit sealed your spirit, sealed my spirit, so that Satan can't access it. No evil spirit can access the spirit of a believer, all things being equal. Let's say amen. Then verse 14. Verse 14. Which is, he said, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So our spirit was born again and sealed, enveloped by the Holy Ghost. But our soul was purchased, brought to me. The soul is purchased. So who owns the soul? Jesus. But the soul still has the properties of the adversary. So in God's eye, the soul is a baby in his house by purchase. The spirit is a new man by birth. But that same soul that is a new man, that is a baby in the house by purchase, is an old man who... You know, maybe the picture in my mind, not my, in my mind, is like you bought one thing that looks very ugly, that his eyes are dark. Because you went to the market and purchased it, you brought it to the house, it's now your own. But his pastor said, oh. But inside of it, as it is walking in your house, you too, you know that this guy, now weapon. You just be doing like this in your house, be walking one. Ah! You and your wife tell yourself, say, guy, we have to be careful. Your wife will say, Shebi, now you go buy him. I know. We have to be careful. No, let her enter the room. Just that's what heaven has done to us. They can't give us all their things. Have you ever heard something like that? They're like, okay, Pastor Emeka, our daddies will say things like that. Even heaven is careful of the soul. Even Satan does not trust the soul. As bad as Satan is, he does not try. He can disappoint him. It's like going to buy a dog. They say this dog, you get to the market, this dog can sing. Eh? This dog can sing. You know, so everybody looks at the dog. You understand? Where they are selling dog, you know, people are there. They are like, wonder dog. Then somebody came and said, we'll buy the dog. They say, what's special about this dog? He said, this dog, just say, you play the guitar. And as he started playing the guitar, you know, hey, hey, this world is good. And everybody like, this dog can sing. They say, wait, he never finished. All of a sudden, he started rapping. Atasu, Mekisa, I like this world, I like this. Hey! And he just say, how much is the dog? They say, now, $1,000. What? You buy him. But this dog get rabies. This dog get all kinds of infection, health issue. But you carry him, bring him to your house. So you now have to, so it's good. In your house, it is your dog. You now have to treat it. So the soul is a baby, not by birth, by purchase. With all his yama yama, they purchased it and brought it into the house of God. And God will tell you, he's my child. So at times, God can call you my child. And at times, he can call you my son. He's talking to two different parts of you. My son is talking to your spirit. My child is talking to your soul. His child, they rebuke. They chastise because of many, many things that is inside. So it's good to know that at the point of the new birth, our souls are babies. Say babies. It's an humbling statement, but it is true. The quicker we admit it, the more, and agree with it, the more we will yield to process of taking that soul out of childishness into maturity. Let's say amen. From our manual, though the spirit is a new creation man, the soul is a baby. I've quoted all the scriptures. This needs to be well understood. Pari passu, the issue of the leading of the spirit. Many believers at their baby stage are ignorant and unaware of the issue of the leading of the spirit, which of course has begun in their spirit albeit for their soul. Like that they said while rounding up, like that he mentioned it. The moment you are born again, they start leading you. For some of us, we really couldn't tell that we are being led. You know, joy is leading in expression. Leading is very vast. Some people, the moment they got born again, the joy was too much. Then you see them on the road crying, "Give your life to Jesus." It's something. It's something. There's that joy. Because sometimes later when that person grows up, he wants to know what step to take. As he's thinking of it, joy springs up. It's an indication of leading. Joy, peace are indices of the Lord being at peace with a direction, with an intent that you might have in your heart. So at the point when we are born again, leading already began. But most times it can't be a nest because of not being properly taught. Let's say amen. If souls, those who are born again, you understand, are not helped and guided, they would end up following, if care is not taken, wrong voice as a result of ignorance with regards to leading of the Spirit. Let's say amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10, a scripture there, he said, there be many voices in the world. He said, and every one of it, you understand, signifies something. I paraphrase. Now, if a person is not, he said, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. They are signifying something. They are pointing somewhere, painting something, as it were. So if a person does not find proper teaching as per leading of the Spirit, they can mess things up about themselves, about their lives. Things can be muddled up. Particularly, maybe you end up now, exposed to waters of the salvation of the soul message. I'm not lying to you. In these waters, a lot of leading of the Spirit needs to be understood and known. Otherwise, people can make mistakes. A lot. Leading of the Spirit, when it is sharp, it can help a person even not to yield to wrong spirits, even around area of giftings. Have you ever wondered why scripture will say, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, the narrowness verse, prove all things? You'll be like, you are prophesied. What you prophesied is the spirit that spoke. No, it is you that spoke as inspired by the spirit. Did that shock you? Yeah? The day I listened to Kenneth Hagin, he said some people, when they give word, they will say it's the Holy Spirit that's. He says he needs stature, then some degree of being drunk with stature for you to say the Spirit is speaking expressly. You know, some people, when they give a word, they will tell you, but it's the Lord that said it. He spoke it. I remember one day I interpreted one tongue. Daddy called me and said, explain what you interpreted. He said, I don't understand what you interpreted. Explain it. Give him the mic. Let him explain it. Hey! I said, now, wow! He said, no, just explain it. So that let us, you know, at times you will interpret tongues. Daddy will say, as Ayo just said, no, you will think, no, Pastor Ayo interpreted by the Spirit, true, but Pastor Ayo spoke by inspiration. They call them inspirational gift. Mean they inspire you. Now you talk. So you can't lay it at the door of the Holy Ghost. Say the Holy. Go and hold the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost talk. Come here. Now you talk. So he said, despise not prophesying. Then quench not, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Then prove it. He said, then hold fast that which is good. Because there is possibility that out of the things you prophesied, some things are not good. So with leading of the Spirit, you know, some people prophecy had swayed them. I remember one time I went to preach somewhere. Powerful meeting. God helped me. I ministered. I was invited. Then there is this old minister that was there that blessed my heart. And I honor and respect God's grace on him. So he now came. He was so blessed. He now came, he was, you know, prayed for some people. They now said he wants to pray for me. Young man called, let me pray for you. Then when he finished praying, while he was praying, he now gave a word. Now, the general thing is to just lay hold on that word because the word favored me.
Everybody said the word favored me. Say the word favored me.
But I just checked in my spirit. My spirit was against that word. Naturally, that word should be like, if they say this kind of thing concerning you, Kai, you don't blow. Yeah. But I checked it. So because my spirit rejected, it was a rejection, even though it was a good word. But my spirit said that thing, it will mislead me. So as I was leaving that place, I won't forget, as I climbed, I came out, used pedestal bridge, I was rejecting it. Because I knew if I wasn't careful, it will enter me somewhere. But you say, but he's a minister. Now, does that make him a false prophet? No. That's not how you know false prophet. False prophet is another thing. A person can be so right, prophesy accurately now, the next minute is prophesying wrong. And for those who prophesy, the first person who should be proving what you prophesied is you. So the day another person proves it, you won't be offended. And it's good to know that no matter what you prophesy, you are still growing in accuracy. Is that helping somebody? Let's say amen. Now, this becomes imperative around the issue of the salvation of the soul. To assume that a newborn babe would always get it right in the issue of the leading of the Spirit would be taking too much of a risk. Which leads us to the next issue. B. A newborn babe needs to belong to a local assembly. Let's say amen. Have you seen a baby? They just gave birth to the baby in the hospital. Then all of a sudden, you just see the baby on a trolley on the street using remotes to control how it's going. Just the baby on his own, holding remote, turn right, right. Then the baby goes to the supermarket. Pastor Ayo said it's only in cartoon. Then he goes to the supermarket, and when he gets there, they're like, you know, ah, ah. I say, who is making noise? I say, baby food, naan, 101. No, there is nothing like that. So, naturally, babies don't cater for themselves. It is spiritually that babies like to cater for themselves. I can assure you, most of the people who on social media cause confusion, they are big babies with golden diapers. With, you know, diamond feeding bottle in the realm of the spirit. That chats, they will tell you, they will 14 ministers chatting direction and telling you, you know, Baba Adeboye is wrong, this one is wrong. You understand? Many check it. If you check it, 99.9 of them don't have pastors they are accountable to. Because if they have pastor, no pastor, true pastor, would allow a member of theirs to run a blog, a channel or whatever that will be tearing down ministers of the gospel. None. So every child of God who's born again, who's a baby in their soul, it's a must. Say it's a must. To belong to a church, to belong to a local assembly. That's the word. You're already a member of the church worldwide, but you ought to, it's a must for you to grow well, for you to be safe, for you to be nurtured, nourished, raised, accounted for, protected, covered. You ought to belong to a local assembly. I remember a brother, I met him in one state many years ago, 2016 or 17, went on missionary trip. I met him. And while I met him, he came for the meeting. He said he was blessed. And I asked him, I said, which church do you go to? He said he doesn't go to church. Ah, I'm not like, what do you mean you don't go to church? He said he doesn't go to church that, you understand, the Lord says he should stay away from the body for now. You know, there are things in here. The Lord said you should stay away from the body for now. Pastor said it is leprosy. Maybe he didn't understand what they told him. He said the Lord said he should stay away from the body. So may I looked at him. Then he now began to share his encounters. You understand? This encounter, that encounter. When I listened to him, I saw a mixture of good things and many bad things. Small, small good things, but he didn't know. Now he was sharing it with me, maybe trying to tell me that, look, we also belong to this thing. You know, while you were ministering, there was, you know, tongues, interpretation, you know, somebody said an angel is here. These things, you know, is a realm
we belong to this realm. We know ourselves. Amorawa, when we see Amorawa. You understand? And I looked at him. I said, okay, no problem. Let him come at least till the end of the meeting. And I told him, I asked him, you know, about his past. He's actually been with the church. Had misunderstanding with that pastor. Then left. So because of that, he wasn't going to church. So Sunday, and I asked him, what do you do on Sundays? He said he stays at home and fellowships. So what I did was to be his friend. I just knew. Because, you know, even though he's not a stubborn type, some things appeared to him that has misled him, but he didn't know he was being misled. So I just became his friend. You know, I knew if I told him immediately, it might be difficult for him to. So he became his friend over a period of time. Anytime I go to that place, he will come. Then after some time, I now introduced him to another minister who pastors a church there. I said, begin to go to this church. You understand? He will now begin to give me the idea that the word level there is low. He didn't say it verbatim, but that was where he was going. The word level is low. Supposing it's like the kind of things we teach in this word and prayer, you understand? They are teaching there, you understand? He will know that there is something he can take home. And I told him, I said, do you want to prosper? Because we've talked, I've now known quite some things about him. I said, I can assure you, as in the next 10 years of your life, you will be more miserable than you are. I said, look at it. And I began to tell, you know, bring some of the things he's spoken to me. I began to bring it to him. That if you continue like this, you don't have a pastor. Nobody is accountable to you. Then I had boldness. I told him, I said, some of the things that are talking to you are evil spirits. I said, it's difficult, but the things that you say are talking to you. He was telling me, he reads, the people he reads, you know, I won't call names, online, white people that he follows. I said, some of the things that are talking to you, that you call visitations, are evil spirits. I said, and I'm not lying to you, and I don't have any reason to lie to you. Thank God for his heart. He started going to that church. The long story short, he's now married. He's a pastor under one of the pastors in these waters, somewhere in the southwest here. Yeah? Because why? When he started going, I now found out that not just only that pastor, there is also another pastor who is one of our pastors in these waters that he knows, that he has also had issues with. So because of that, he knows the message, so he's running. So one time when I now told him, I said, go and meet that pastor. Go and meet him. Go and apologize and tell him you want to come and submit. He was like, he was giving me reasons. I said, go. By the time he got there, that pastor now got across to me. He said he knows that he's a minister. He said it is obvious. He said, but if he doesn't come, he said he will struggle. He said I should send him back. I said, no problem. It's to send him back from the north. I sent him back. I talked to him and he went back. Bless God. His wife was in that church. They are now parents of a child. And he's doing well. So check it. If he wasn't in the church, I can assure you, I've seen people like that. Their lives will be miserable. I have been like that. Where you just feel you are a free radical. You understand? You just stay and you won't grow well. Even if the Lord is telling you that maybe, you know, that's one challenge for young men. Maybe there's something special he wants to do with you. Come to a church. And you will discover there is nothing special he wants to do with you. Because when you come to a church, you will now see people. When you see graces, you will put your tail between your leg. You will just be humble. I have encounters. Melchizedek appeared to me. I say, no problem. And I say, come. You just come. Come and see people that the Most High God has appeared to. Praise God. Say, belong to a church. It's also a sense we have. When you meet people who don't have a local assembly, a pastor. Now, another side to it is that sometimes some people are in a church, but they don't have pastors they are accountable to. It's good to have a pastor you are accountable to. And can I also stress it? The fact that you stay in my house, for example, in New and Living Way, does not mean I am your pastor. Say amen. Abi Pastor Ayo. Abba. People that stay in my house, some of them, Pastor Leke is their pastor. And I must be at peace with it. No, you're their pastor. They tell me. One of the brothers in my house, Pastor Timmy in Port Harcourt, is his pastor. I'm talking about in our water, somebody that he is accountable to. And he does not take anything away from me. It's to make the work easy. Oh, you don't agree? That the Egutuki says some people in his house, I am their pastor. Minus PM, trouble. Now, you know, the reason why that is being said humorously is that sometimes some people can belong to a church and they are not being pastored. Now, pastoring is not only feeding. There is the oversight side of pastoring. That thing that is somebody, that's the blessing of house fellowship. Let's say amen. That's the blessing of house fellowship. I know somebody will be like, but I have a pastor and I have an house fellowship pastor. They don't clash. Two different responsibilities is to bring you to a place wherein you simmer in, you bond with brethren. Can I tell you, your darkness is better revealed when you bond. You didn't get me. Say my darkness. You know, at times you just feel you are holy, you are clean, you are on humility. You are getting 100/100 on the subject of humility. If they score your humility script, Kai, 99.999. Let's not give him everything. On lowliness, Kai, 101/100. Just say, come around, brethren. Say, be accountable to a pastor. By the time you want to do something and your pastor, who sees better than you, says, don't do it. Something can be provoked. You know, last week I was sharing my volcano's eruption in my heart. Let's say amen. Now, that having been said, it's good to know that you, as you know, because we are a community of pastors. So many pastors. I was talking with Daddy Egochukwu sometime recently, and he's saying, now authority is not enforced. You don't go and meet somebody, maybe as a pastor, definitely not at the level of leadership, but let's just say it. Say, and you are insisting on being the person's pastor. You must submit to me. When you do that, it just shows that you've lost it. You've lost it. You don't force people to submit. Now, those words I took it is that Egochukwu's word we spoke recently. You don't force people to submit. Let them see reasons to submit. And I say again, the fact that they stay in your house does not mean you are their pastor. I also say the other side. Now, for those who stay in people's house, you are accountable to people you stay in their house. Say amen. Amen. Now, pastoral work, I do this morning, you know. You are staying in somebody's house and you make a major decision and the person doesn't know. It's not fair on the person. Because it's family. Say family. You won't know what it feels like until when probably you have a home. And maybe some major things, decisions are made and you don't know. Imagine maybe somebody staying in my house and all of a sudden they just call, God forbid. And then they saw this person, this thing happened to this person in Ogun State. Ogun State? How? She works in Oworonsoki. So how come Ogun State? Maybe this in our office, they say all of a sudden, come and go to Ogun State. It doesn't hurt. A text message, a chat. They just sent me to Ogun State. Probably the guy slept overnight, you know, and just had a dream that there was an accident and he saw the address around the accident, Ogun State. Maybe he just prayed casually, which any one of us can fall to. I don't know anybody in Ogun State, but God saved the person. If that person sends a message and he hears Ogun State, I cover that car in the name of Jesus. Then you say, call up, must you go? Praise God. It's all checks and balances that makes for a good and tight community. Let's say amen. Now, this cannot be overemphasized. As simple as this might seem, it can make or mar the destiny of any saint, no matter the level of growth. The issue of being in a local assembly. Can I say this? No sheep can maximize their destiny without a shepherd. No sheep. No sheep knows the next pasture to take by themselves. No sheep. It is not in the make of a sheep, in the makeup of a sheep, in the sense of a sheep, to know that after grazing here, this is what next we should eat. How do you add it up, everlasting life, then how to be led by the Spirit of God? Have you calculated it? Logically speaking, what should be the next? Eternal life. Abi? After everlasting life, like for, you know, 15, 20, 30 weeks, the next thing is just, let's jam the East. Let's enter the East, eternal life. But no, the shepherdic wisdom from everlasting life come to leading of the Spirit. Because why? And you'll be amazed how many people this is helping. You'll be amazed. Whichever way the Lord will lead pastor, after now, you will now find that this was needed to take the next turn. So he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. He maketh me. He leadeth me. Now that same role of the Lord to the church is the role of a shepherd in a local assembly. Any chief, you know, sheep who does not belong to a local assembly or does not actively submit to oversight in a local assembly will want, will not be led. The leading of the Spirit in a sheep's life can be stifled without a shepherd. Praise the Lord. Belonging to a local assembly helps sharpen the issue of the leading of the Spirit. This is because in a local assembly, the voice of the Spirit of God is highly amplified. Let's say amen. One good example, years ago, while teaching Sunday school, this example came out. You know, when the Lord would first speak to Samuel under Eli, he was sleeping in the house of God, and it was God who was speaking. And God called him, Samuel. And he went to Eli. He said, here I am. You call it. He said, I didn't call you. Go and sleep. Then the Lord called him again, Samuel. Then he came and told Eli, here I am, sir. He said, what? He said, you called me. He said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. He now told him the third time. He said, if you hear that voice again, say, speak, Lord, thy servant hear it. Now, the voice of God was actually Eli. So God wanting to talk to Samuel, he used Eli's voice. It wasn't Eli talking. Samuel would not have become the greatest prophet Israel known. That shifted them from the era of judges to the era of kings. None of his word fell to the ground if he did not learn how to discern the oversight of Eli. So for God to first talk to him, God had to be using the voice of Eli. God could have spoken with the voice of Moses. But he chose the voice of the shepherd that he knows. Now we will not even break even, quote unquote, in hearing the Lord very well for ourselves if we have not submitted to hearing the Lord through our pastors. Our daddy, chiefly. Let's say amen. So to play with a church. So can I tell you, every time teachings are coming forth, you know, daddy is teaching us, you understand? You know, they're actually training us on how to hear God. Every time that they wake, okay, for example, is teaching. You understand? How many of you know? Some tongues can never come out from your mouth. Maybe when it has come out from daddy's mouth, you know, he has said, you know, Eden, East, manna. Mana, Michael, you know, Michael, all of a sudden, everybody Michael. All tongues became Michael. Somebody say, even money in devotion. Michael, you. You be like, for our money in devotion. You know why? It came up. All those things are voice of reverend. His voice. Voice is not just the sound alone. Voice is the content. But he couldn't come out from our mouth until he came out from his mouth. Not to submit to it. You know, and it's the Holy Ghost. Somebody will say they are making it up. They are not making it up. I know there are people who get excited by atmosphere. But I can assure you, it's not being made up. It's people are responding. That the Spirit of God had to say it through his servant. And before you know, the thing became tongues. It became languages that can come out through as many mouths as the Spirit of God wants to. Let's say amen. The summary of that is, it's good to belong to a local assembly. It's good to listen to a direction. Some of us, when pastor is giving direction concerning meal, you know, we are not so, Yes, you're slow to yield. You are slow. You are not taking it serious. Your life, my life depends on it. Let's say amen.
Amen.
From our manual, C, submitting to and maintaining a good shepherdship relationship is key. This is the biggest help to a young believer's ability to pick leading of the Spirit. Let me read and I'll explain. It is on this premise, the soul's salvation message, by reason of properly discerning the soul, places more premium on the issue of a shepherd or pastor's guidance and oversight for the sheep so that they can end up in God. Put still, or put another way, it is in submitting to the oversight of a shepherd, of our pastor, enhances our ability. I've explained it in the previous B. Enhances our ability in doing well, in picking leading of the Spirit. Let's say amen. For example, let me give one example. You know what we hear limits how much or to what degree the Spirit of God can talk to us. Doctrine-wise, if all a sheep knows is exposed to, doctrine-wise, meal-wise, is milk, and the person is not called as an apostle like that, Diego, who's breaking grounds of doctrine, the person is just a layman in the church, and all the person knows is milk, the Holy Ghost can never be leading him to charity. There's no ground for it. So he will read that portion of scripture and be limited by it. And if a person is exposed to lopsided doctrine, the person means doctrine that is not balanced, the person makes it more difficult. Pastor Tayo of Fasten While Ministering yesterday in Revelation gave example of Google Map. You understand? The Google Map says if you follow this route, you arrive in 15 minutes at Ifakor, for example. Then you now go a different route. You give the machine more trouble to reroute you and add extra time. So also it is, what we hear, the things we're exposed to, you understand, affects the clarity of leading that can come. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit will not lead you wrongly, no. But it just means you limit his ability to lead you in certain regard. So submitting to a pastor is blessing in many ways. I remember years ago, I held a book. I wanted to read a book. I saw the book with someone. I felt like, wow, this book is deep. That should be well over 10, maybe 12 years ago. I wanted to read this book. And Pastor Emeka was just passing by me. He just saw. He said, which book is that? I said, I gave him. Very happy. He said, Light. And Pastor just looked at it and said, you are not supposed to be reading this book. I take this one. See, today I don't know where the book is. Now, that helped me. You know, somebody can get angry. At times, when your pastor do things with the bigger picture in view. Then over the years too, me too, I've seen people with books. And I would just take it. I know some people will be like, Pastor is storing his library. Now, lie. Even me, I don't read it. I just take it. One brother came to my house. He brought one book on Revelation. Something Revelation. And he brought it. He said, you understand, this is the book he wants to read now to help his revelational. I said, thank you. I said, you won't read this book. Avoid this author. I just collected it. I said, go and listen to, you understand, this Sunday school series. That's on the school series. Go and listen to this message by Reverend. Go and listen to this message by, you understand, Pastor Thompson. Go and listen to this message by Pastor Tosin. You understand? This one will take you off. And you will discover certain graces in the company will not rest upon you. Because you have ate into something else. So submitting to authority should be holistic. Let's say holistic. It is a degree to which you submit that the degree to which you can be helped. If you hide things, no pastor, every pastor in this ministry is busy. Over busy. It is not to your advantage that you choose to hide things. Be open. Tell things, you know, expose yourself. And let the Lord use pastors to help you, because your pastor is a help provision from the Lord for you and to you. Let's say amen.
The soul salvation message recognizes and places premium on the leading of the Spirit by reason of the discernment of the soul through the knowledge of God's word. The soul salvation message recognizes and places premium on the leading of the Spirit, but by reason of discernment of the soul through the knowledge of God's word and different growth levels of the soul, such a pastor or pastor that is overseeing that soul, you understand, appropriates the leading of the Spirit in the life of a saint and sifts out excesses, deceptions, voices of idols, which mimics and imitates the leading of the Spirit in the heart of a believer. Let's say amen. You know, pastoral graces also, you know, are in grades. As you understand, you submit to your pastor can tell you, you understand, you know, he can tell that some things that might appear to be leading of the Spirit to you might just be your idol talking. How many of you know an idol can talk like leading? Yes. It just sound to you like if you are being led. But whereas it's an idol. It's an idol. Sometimes we have excesses that we call leading of the Spirit. Like somebody standing before the mirror and saying, I'm checking in my spirit whether I should comb my hair or I should not comb my hair. You understand? I'm checking my spirit whether I should eat the meat or I should not eat. Those are excesses. You laugh. There are people like that. There are people like that. You understand? They've taken certain things to what to wear. Why this people can prompt you, wear this, wear that? It's excess for you to wake up in the morning. And you wake up, are you kasabalata, sabalate, sagarana, tesi, are you looking at your wardrobe? La ja ja ja, la ja ja ja, la ja 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 la tie, tie, okay, tie, I take tie. No, they need to tie you to the chair. And say, play how to be led by the Spirit of God. Because why? That's an excess. Let's say amen. If you have a pastor, like sometimes I see some people, their clothes are rough. Me too, I used to be like that. I would just tell them that, please, iron this clothes. Iron this clothes. I remember those days, Reverend would come to me. He took me one day, those days, 2014. In Agbayewa, he just stopped me one more. He just took me aside. Pastor, jeans, he dirty. Jeans, he dirty. Pastor, this jeans is dirty. This jeans, hey! He said, this jeans is what? I said, I should do something. Oh, dirty, oh, dirty. I wanted to enter the ground. He does, you know, I just feel like we're drunk in the spirit. Dirty jeans for Jesus. As long as evil spirits are falling, the kingdom is advancing. It is not by jeans, it is by your legs. A pastor will balance you. Instead, you go back home, go and change your clothes. And don't be angry. It's actually protecting you. It's actually protecting you. Let's say amen. Pastors are blessing. Can we lift up our hands concerning our daddy? Let's give thanks to God. Let's give thanks to God for our daddy, for our mommy, daddy and mommy Eguchukwu, because pastors are blessings. Blessings. We are grateful, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Goals of leading of the Spirit for a child of God. Number one, leading is meant to bat and form the nature and character of God in the soul of a child of God. Let's say amen. We've explained that severally. The reason for leading chiefly is to form. Everybody say form. It's to form nature. Character of God. Character of God. So at times, when you see some people, you can... The things of God is one kind. When you see some people, you can tell how much of leading, they have. Quality of the life of God in a person is also a measurement of the quality of leading. A person who is at the level of the doctrine of Christ and is showing as life, that person has storage of leading. Leading has been transformed into life in that person.
And that is H. So the goal, the reason for leading of the Spirit is not for a husband. A husband, when you are led in that regard, is for an intent. It's a means to an end. It's not for a job. It's not for your purpose. Now you say, my purpose is to be a minister of the gospel. That's not your purpose. My purpose is to, you understand, you know, bring the financial sector in Nigeria, you know, to the estate of that which you see in developed world. Thank you. Thank you. We are grateful. That's not your purpose. Your purpose and the reason why the Lord brought you, made you a believer, is to lead you so that you can trap the formation of God's life, of God's nature in you. Let's say amen. The milk of the word plus the leading of the spirit that a child receives around the word is what imputes and imparts the name of the Holy Ghost on the soul of a believer. You know, we're talking about this, you know, basics. We're looking at basics. Next week, we are going complex. Very, very complex. So let's take it from the basics. You understand? So, you know, the milk of the word plus the leading of the spirit that a child of God receives around the word is what imputes and imparts the nature of God at that level. So word and leading, when you add them together and you use them, is what makes for nature. Say word. Say revelation. And leading. And obedience equals nature. Everybody didn't say it. Say revelation. Leading of the spirit. Obedience equal nature. Amen. To paint the true hope of the gospel, another goal of the leading of the spirit is to paint the true hope of the gospel in the soul of a child of God. If the hope of the gospel is not being painted in the heart of a child of God, that the reason why you are born again, where sincere milk is taught, Pastor Leke, even at the level of the milk, like in the early church, people know what they are looking for. That really, thank God that is even the milk. They will know that what they are gunning for is life. High life of God is what they are, even from that level. So the leading of the spirit is meant to actualize that in the soul of a believer. To learn the spirit of God in a measure. The way and character of the spirit, which are summarized in faith and love for a believer. You will hear that the Ego can say, you know, make reference to God's servant, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, learning the spirit. Another reason for leading of the spirit is that we learn the spirit. When the spirit of God, for example, here you are with your brother, your sister, and something should get you angry and you should snap, and the spirit of God constrains you. You want to just give it to the person the way it is in your heart. You know, teaching has gone that you shouldn't do it. Then the spirit of God leads you. You know, you shouldn't talk. While you are boiling, he's saying, don't say anything. Even now, even tells you, the Holy Ghost can begin to speak in tongues. There is something boiling in your inside. Reply, response, revenge. He has to begin to pray. You know, as you, that instruction is an instruction then. But it's also teaching you. You can learn the character of the Holy Ghost at that level. So another reason for the leading of the Spirit is to learn the Spirit. So leading of the Spirit is one sure route to learn the Spirit. When they say learn the Spirit, I mean learn the manner of the Spirit. Learn the lifestyle that the Spirit, you understand, you know, inspires and leads us to walk in. Let's say amen. Another goal for the leading of the Spirit is to train the soul to discern and submit to spiritual authority in the house. That one very mighty reason why the Lord, you know, leads us by His Spirit is also to train the soul to discern authority. Anytime that is achieved, you can tell that person is truly being led. You understand? You know, sometimes you just be amazed. You understand? The Spirit of God will come to you. You understand? It's the Spirit of God, though. But who you see is Pastor Emeka. In your dream, you just see Pastor come to you. You understand? Like a sister was chatting with me yesterday, and she told me she's having some struggles in her life. Then, maybe in March this year, she had a dream. She saw Pastor Emeka. Pastor Emeka told her that she should, you know, I've forgotten the express thing. She was just sent it to me yesterday. Now, what's the Spirit of God doing? In showing her Pastor Emeka, he's teaching her authority. amongst other things, that this is authority. You understand? You hear that daddy said it last week, you understand, while he was ministering. He saw that the ego came. You understand? Some people in some other places, maybe while I was in going to Living Faith Church, I used to see Bishop Oyedepo come to me. While I was going to Christ Embassy, because I've been to Christ Embassy, I used to see Reverend Chris Oyakilome come to me. Then I showed up in EGFM. Then I see Daddy Oyegoke. I see Mommy. Then I joined New and Living Way. Do you understand? When I see Pastor, I understand what the Lord is saying. When I see Reverend, I understand. The Lord is painting picture of authority. So, and he's leading. He is leading you. Don't talk like this. You can see Pastor just come and just tell you. You understand? Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Three times. Then maybe when you see Pastor in church the next day, Pastor will just see you and argue. You'll be like, but he warned me. The Holy Ghost used him to warn you. Used his visage to warn you. He wants you to know that that's the authority he's put over you. Let's say amen. So through leading of the Spirit also, the Lord reflects authority. He exalts authority. He teaches us authority. He magnifies authority. He identifies authority. Let's say amen. Can we give thanks to God this morning in the name of Jesus?
Hallelujah. Can we just appreciate Jesus for this teaching? Hallelujah. It's only... If this teaching is not helping you, something must be. And I'm talking to people from my level downward. From my level downward. If this teaching is not helping you, or you felt you have outgrown this level of teaching, then that means something is wrong with you. Even our daddy in the house. Daddy said that he's been blessed and he's helping him. So can we just thank God for Pastor T for such an utterance? For such a grace. Can we thank God? We thank God for that grace. Hallelujah. Pastor, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so, so much. He's been rich. He's been rich. And I want to implore everybody, please let us pick up the message again and re-listen. Please, let us listen to it again and again. It will make life easy for you. Amen. I like what Pastor TJ said last week. He said, with leading in our life, leading of the Spirit, there is no plan B. It is the way to life. That is the only way by which God has decided to bless us. And the truth of the matter is that there is no way we can do well spiritually even in our life without that leading. Let's say amen. Just few things. Not just to... just to say what blessed me and what I feel that, just to emphasize, for the sake of emphasis, because the teaching was well taught, too much, so much grace, so much utterance, so much anointing, so much demonstration of the Spirit. We thank God for that. One of the things that when Pastor was speaking was that in the midst of the world, when we speak about the leading of the Spirit. We talk about allocation of God's words in dispensation or amidst believers. If the commission on this church is to raise people that will believe God for their healing, and in this church there will not be any sick person, now the Lord can commission a man to be like that. The Lord can commission a man that make my people rich. The hope of the leading of the Spirit in that church will be that nobody should be poor. If there's any contrary leading, maybe something is the Lord, but it's not according to the message, the person will look different. Praise God. So one of the things that make us sheep indeed is the word spoken and the leading. Now, why I say that is that when Pastor Kwe was talking about hopes in the place of leading, honestly, our hope determines how far God can lead us or where God can lead us to. If your hope, take for instance, of our daddy of blessed memory, talked about walking in love for your body to be healed. That is a hope. And is scriptural. Is the Lord's ordination. Is the Lord's permission. You hear? He will tell some people, go and walk in love. That sickness will go. Hallelujah. So you can see the reason for that walking in love, which is a leading, is so that sickness can go. Are we together, everybody? That means you are pleasing the Lord so that sickness can go. But when you come to this water, or to this, to the commission upon our parents, you will hear, go and walk in love so that you can understand the message. Go and walk in love so that you can grow spiritually. You see, hopes change. So one of the things that milk does is that it gives us hope for what God is doing in our life. Are we together, everybody? So most of the time, and one of the things I want to say is that in this message, God embedded salvation in objective leading. Because the vision is that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God can use your work to teach you salvation. The Lord, through the mouth of our parents, give words, speak the word, and say things that have blessed us, and the spirit of that message rests upon you. And then you get a call. Come and resume into a company. And that resumption is tied to salvation. They may not be paying you well. It may even be lesser or higher. But at the end of the day, after everything, you will discover that you are most saved when you pick up the job. So what I'm trying to say is this, that in our objective leading too, maybe the Lord is leading to marry a wife or get a job, we should be hopeful that through it, salvation will press out. So the major thing, like one of my dear sister, very beautiful sister, wonderful sister, very lovely. You know, we talk like that. When you see her, you know that she doesn't have any issue. You tell yourself, this is a perfect believer. Looking for, trusting God for a job. Then she got the job. And what could not be revealed in church amidst brethren was revealed amidst somebody who does not have the message. I mean, say, this character is not good. This thing is not good. Now, that job is actually the Lord that gave her for the purpose of the change of her soul. So at times she will do something, she will just surprise. Pastor, what is wrong with me? Today again. And anytime I hear the report, I know that it's because God is saving her soul in a way that if he stays in the company and he didn't go out to work, she won't have experienced that salvation. So when we talk about leading of the Spirit, it's all encompassing. All is, you are to the place where you will stay, there is salvation there. To the husband you will marry, there is a salvation there. To the brethren you are staying with, there is salvation there. And I want to encourage us that we should have salvation in view when we are being led. I remember what Pastor Kwe said last week. He said that the essence of leading is for us to return back to God. That means every step we are taking, it is not just the, maybe you got a job and they are paying you 900,000 naira, but you are not changing. You are not progressing spiritually. To a carnal man, it's a good job, but to a spiritual man, it's a bad job. It's not about the money. It's about what is God doing in your soul because of this job. Hallelujah. And I want to say, you know, at times you will hear, I've had that struggle for years. Is it not that I cannot be led? Is it that I'm not hearing God? Because you feel you heard God. You heard God. Now you have the boldness. Come and tell your pastor. Daddy, I saw this thing. I said, no. This is not. Can you wait? Can you just prove it? But I heard the Lord. Seeth the Lord. In fact, I have confirmation from my brethren. But when you get to spiritual authority, they said, wait. You'll now be wondering, is it that I don't hear God? No, it's not that you didn't hear God. The Lord can speak. And that puppy that Pastor Kwai described, that they bought in market, that can sing. By the time he's hearing the Lord, he's singing what is in his soul. Are we together, everybody? I remember vividly one of the examples that Pastor Kwai gave. I won't forget that example. He said our soul is like buying a property where courtists have lived before. And then they have smoke in their hands such that the wall of the and the ceiling is filled with Indian hymns. And on the wall, they write, Mr. Bado, Scorpion the Stinger. He was here. The tiger was here. Here is the home of devil. We are devil. And you see it all over the wall. But it's a house that has prospects. Maybe it's big. You can use the house for a whole lot of things. You as a person, you will not definitely live in that house without renovation. And to renovate, at times, I know of our brother that took an accommodation that the money he used to renovate was more than the rent. Because the house was old, was bad, and they need to do a lot of things. So if you as human being will not take the interpretation in an old building to be your life or to be what you desire, how much more about God? Now where we are coming from, we were led by evil spirits. Satan has wrought nature in our soul. Satan has done a whole lot of things. Salvation. Now, another thing I want us to see is that the spirit is like water. Very pure water, but the soul is like the pipe wherein water is being discharged or channeled. Have you ever opened your pipe, especially if people that has iron water? By the time you are opening, if you get them, if you have iron, just gonna open your WC. That tank that flushes, the thing you see there will scare you. Is the same thing. You understand? Why? Because the water that is coming will be pure. But the soul has taken waters that are bad water and there are segments there already. I remember when Pastor Yola wanted to renovate, he has to change the whole pipe. Because as he's doing as if washing the tank, the pipe was bringing out bad water. That's, they have to change all the pipes because the water is good, but the pipe is bad. That is the soul. So you can have a leading. It can be colored by your nature. You can have a leading. It can be colored by your will. You can have a leading. It can be colored by anything that is not of God. For that purpose, you need somebody to help you check the water. Praise God. So when we say it's not that we cannot be led, one of the things I respect our parents for is that they never go against leading of the spirit. But they know we have infirmities. Praise God. You know, let me just give my own testimony as I round up. You know, when I was, a lot of you have heard of the testimony of Kano State, yes or no? I know that is one of my signature. And I went to say, Kano, say, Pastor, you are good. So now, when I heard that leading, honestly, I didn't frame it up. There is a point I want to say, just to help some people's hearts. Because as Pastor was speaking, I just felt some people are asking questions. Can't I hear God for myself? Can't I do this by myself? We were praying. If I had a dream, I saw that some people that are in the body, they passed on. And then out of the agony of that dream, I started praying. I have to call a friend, and we were praying together. I started praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Then I said, Kanu. And a lot of things were said. And from my own mind, God is sending me to Kanu State. But in my spirit, the Lord is saying, pray for Kanu. That may be what the Lord is saying. But in my spirit, I have trouble. When I say Kanu State, I just Kanu State. I've never been there. Kanu State. Somewhere, I can take risk. I can take risk. Pastor TJ, know me very well. I can take risk. But now I'm becoming... the Lord is breaking. I can take risk. Yes, we go there. Now, if I don't have power, if I don't have that nature of taking risk, I will be afraid. I won't go. I say I'm not going. I will say I'm not going. Nothing. I was just going to tell one sovereign, this is what I do. You think is I don't mind. It's not. I will have been helped. But because of my nature, he said nothing. It was because of the church I was coming from. Are you getting me? But I have trouble in my spirit. I kept on praying. Anytime I look at that prophecy, and I look at the prophecy, and look at the vision, everything seems accurate. But in my spirit, something was wrong. But my will was strong. I already met friend who came from Kano State. I said, and I started making contacts. Kano State, here we come. But in my spirit, I will lie on the bed. I'll be rolling up and down. Sometimes it's the weight of the spirit. But I have troubles. The Lord will lead me to act of apostle and see the journey of Paul. I will be afraid. And I wake up again after that weight I lifted, planning towards it. Or I have a very strong leading. Go and meet those who have placed over you. Now this is, at this time, the issue of spiritual authority. I don't know anything about spiritual authority. I just say, pastors are made to talk to me, bless me, and I receive the word, and I'm going to act it out. I don't need any connection to Reverend. I don't need any connection to Reverend Busui, Reverend Ken, Pastor Mick. I don't need any connection. Just hear the word, be their friend, call them, but do your own thing. But I have trouble in my spirit. I kept on praying, and I heard that voice. Go and see those who have gone ahead of you, that you have heard the word from. So I went to meet Reverend Ken. Reverend Ken, look at me. Don't force God to use you. I was very angry. Reverend Ken, I'm very blunt. Say, don't force God to use you. Something told me, he's not getting it. He doesn't understand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I hear in my spirit, I'm about your entire well-being. Mm. I'm about your entire well-being. Mm. I'm about your overall well-being. For you see your life in segments. You see your life in parts. You see aspects of your life. But I see you even from the vantage point of the height of the spirit. I see you completely. I see you completely. I see you in your fullness. I see you in your fullness. I see you even according to what I have planned for you and I will lead you accordingly. I will lead you accordingly. I will lead you accordingly. And when I've brought even these interjections that do not seem to be comprehensible to you by reason of leading, I only ask that you make it subjected, even subjected to them that are over you, subjected to them that are over you. For you see, you are in a stage, says the Spirit of God. You are in a stage where evil spirits are lusting after you. Yeah, they are lusting after you. They are lusting after you. They are lusting after you. For you have already begun to bring forth an aroma in the Spirit, an aroma in the Spirit. And it's attracting even them that do not have your well-being. So I say, stay under. I'm sharing this so you can learn to stay under. Even subject your leadings to them that I've put over you. I have put them over you for your safety, for your own safety, for your individual safety. For that's where I am taking you to. That's where I am taking you to. Even in your natural life, that's how I am leading you. That's how I am leading you. That it will not truncate even my overall destiny for you. For my overall destiny for you can be scuttled by even small victories in the natural. Little victories in the natural that have no bearing towards where I want to take you to. So I ask even that you subject all leadings. Subject all leadings. Prove all things. Prove them with even spiritual authority. Prove them through the means and the blessing of spiritual authority. Subject those leading. Don't be afraid to subject it. Don't be afraid to subject it. For someone is saying in his heart, if I tell them now, they will say no. If I tell them, they will say no. They can also say yes, for I'm the one that is leading you even through them. But I say, take that bold step. Be bold enough to subject it, knowing fully well that I will lead you. I will lead you. I have not left your life even to happenstance. You are being led. You are being led. Be subjected. Be subject to spiritual authority, even for your safety. It's for your safety. It's for your entire well-being, says the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. So just to cut this long story short, why I'm saying this is because some of us might have had issues where you bring matters to pastor and pastor say, wait, or I don't think this is what the Lord is saying. And you may be discouraged. That means we can't hear, I can't hear God again. Let me just, anything you say, should I move? I move. Should I sit? I sit. No, that is not the reason. The reason is to properly guide us. So that at a stage, a time is coming when you have learned the way and you have learned the path, they will trust your judgment. The Lord himself can trust you with a higher leading. So I went to meet Pastor Busi. Now, when Reverend Ken said it, as you will have accepted, but I still have trouble in my spirit. I went to meet Reverend Busi. He encouraged me. He felt the Lord is saying he's calling to the ministry, but he wants me to wait and be built up and say a whole lot of things. I was so sad. So I now said, okay, let me come and see Reverend. Yes, I went to see Reverend. And then I went to see Reverend and Daddy looked at me. It's as if the spirit that was on Reverend Ken jumped on Daddy. I said, you will die. What can Kuson work by? And after they say, Pele. It was just a Pele. And I said, just wait, don't do it. I have some friends in Kano and everywhere. I have some friends over there that I want to talk to. Even those just came on him. For you to know that it is not that he wanted to say that. Something came on him. I said, hey. Okay. He said, he just told me, wait. So all of them, everything come on, wait. Now I don't need to go through the three of them for me to have sense that I'm supposed to wait. Now, I am not regretting that prophecy. Ask me why. Ask me why now. You are not asking. Say why. The reason why I'm not regretting is that if I've not heard that, I won't have direction for the next step. Honestly, if that did not come back, I will just go back to my state. Just go back. But in that prophecy is embedded my feeding. In that prophecy is embedded the wife I will marry. In that prophecy is embedded even direction for ministry. In that prophecy is embedded my eternal destiny. Just one major step. If I had gone to Kano, I would have been. In fact, I was just thinking, maybe it would have killed me. The one blast would just blow my head. Bah! Or just one call around, just come where I'm doing evangelism with him, with Z. And I just He just carried all. They would have forced me to be converted. Ah, I'm the pastor again. Hala wakubaru. Because you don't know your breaking point. You don't know your breaking point. But let's say thank God for spiritual authority. Now it's in that leading, I am that the spirit, I began to understand the message. And it's in that leading, I was able to belong to near level a church. So when he says submitting to spiritual authority or submitting to a pastor, it's not for control. It's for baptism. Let's say baptism. For you to understand the message and know how your life can be configured and shaping for an eternal purpose. How many of us are blessed today? Can we just give thanks to the Lord?
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for